Good morning, friends, and welcome to the Gospel of Grace broadcast. We are thankful to have the opportunity to bring to you, after 30 years of broadcasting, the reassuring message of God's free and sovereign grace. This broadcast is sponsored by the McClenny Primitive Baptist Church. You can receive additional information about this ministry and the doctrines of grace at www.mcclennypbc.com or by calling 904-259-7806. Pray as we go forward together this morning into God's Word. Please stay tuned for another message of God's free and sovereign grace.
Good morning, friends. Welcome to the Gospel of Grace broadcast. We're thankful to be back with you. We're sorry for the technical difficulty last week, and we appreciate your returning to the broadcast as we're thankful to be back on the air. As you tuned in this morning, please be careful to pray. We always need your prayers. We covet them and solicit them, not only during this time, but every day of the week and every week of every year. We need the strength of your prayers. I want to read to you from Romans 13, verses 8 and 10, the Apostle Paul's letter to the church at Rome on the subject of the debt that we owe. And there is a debt that you and I, as born again children of God, owe. But we begin this passage of Scripture by Paul's words, "Owe no man nothing." Yet there's a debt that we owe. Paul says in Romans 13, verse 8, "Owe no man nothing but to love one another." There it is. There's the debt. Paul said, "Don't owe any man anything except to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law." How is that? "For this," he says in verse 9, "thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet." If there be any other commandment, Paul said, it's briefly comprehended. That means it's all included in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Financial debt is a great burden. The wise man tells us that the borrower is a servant to the lender. And without question, all men should be honest, and honesty means that we should pay our bills. Above all other people, God's saints should do so. But our text is not talking about financial debt. Most of us could never own a home, a good vehicle, or continue in business if borrowing money was forbidden in Scripture. Borrowing money in legal, appropriate ways is not forbidden in Scripture. The debt spoken of here is far more weighty than any form of carnal debt. The debt that we owe is a debt of love. It's a lifelong debt of love. Now, the emphasis on love, and if you think, "Oh no, not another sermon on love," then you don't understand the importance, the stress that the Bible places on love. It's neither a minor emphasis nor an infrequent emphasis. Love is the singular subject of the entire 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians. And our Savior tells us plainly that love distinguishes his disciples and separates them from all other people. Listen to what he says in John 13. He said, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you love one another. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one to another." Now, we have all kinds of external measures that we've made up to determine whether we're the orthodox disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ or not. But Jesus is basically saying in John 13, The way people are going to know that my spirit dwells in you is that you love other people. And then Jesus said in John 15, you want to know what my commandment is? You worried about the commandments? Jesus said, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. How well are you doing with that? John 15, 17, these things I command you, that you love one another. Paul, who writes over half of the verses in the New Testament, in Romans 12, he says this, let love be without dissimulation. That means, and listen to this very carefully, there are some people who love you one way when nobody else is around. But then there are other people that will love you another way. Those same people will love you another way when other people come around. That's dissimulation. We're to love everybody the same at all times, no matter who is present. You know, Peter would be close with the Gentiles as long as the Jews weren't around. But when the Jews came around, he kind of stood away from the Gentiles. That's loving with dissimulation. Paul said, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. In other words, it's evil to love that way. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Then in 1 Corinthians 16, he said, let all your things be done with love or charity. And in Galatians 5, all the laws fulfilled in one word, even this. Now, we get our own litmus test for what makes somebody really orthodox and right. Paul said, do you want to fulfill the whole law? Then this is it. Love your neighbor as yourself. And of course, the old Jews got worried about who their neighbor was, and we'll talk about that in just a little bit. But then Paul said in Ephesians 5, walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us an offering and a sweet sacrifice to God. 1 Thessalonians 4, he said, as touching brotherly love, you need not that I should write unto you. In other words, I shouldn't even have to write this to you. He said, because you yourselves are taught of God to love one another. Hebrews 10, let us consider one another to provoke to love and good works. Hebrews 13, let brotherly love continue. Peter takes it up. In 1 Peter 1, he says, you've purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit. How do you obey the truth? He said, unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that you love one another with pure heart fervently. James takes it up. Love your neighbor as yourself, and you fulfilled the royal law. John takes it up in 1 John 3. This is the message you've heard from the beginning. Love one another. So the bottom line, there is no excuse. It's without qualification. I've heard born-again Christians say, I just hate them. That's a denial of the presence of the Spirit of God in you. This business of love should be something on which we focus our love and our lives. As a man pays a debt by focusing the resources he has to that end, I have responsibilities that I have to meet financially that are legal responsibilities that I have. As a man, I have legal debts that I owe, and I have to focus my resources on them. And as a man paying his just and honest debts by focusing his resources to that end, so we're to pay this debt of love that we owe to God by loving his children. And shame on us if we don't. The first time Paul refers to debt in the epistle to the Romans, he says, I'm a debtor, both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, way back in chapter 1, to the wise and the unwise. I'm in debt to them. How is that? I should love them. And because I love them, I should serve them. He said, because I'm in debt to them, for the love of Christ, He said, as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel to them that are at Rome also. See, I have a debt. As a pastor, Christ has been so good to me. Jesus has loved me. You see, I'm unlovable. There's no reason for Jesus to love me. There's nothing in me that's attractive by nature to Jesus. And yet He loves me. And Paul recognized that. He said, because God loved me, I'm a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians. I remember visiting with a pastor several years ago, and he didn't have both feet in the service of God. It was clear, and I'm not saying I do, but it was clear that complacency and indifference and apathy and indifference had crept in. And he was very careful about how much he was doing. He was very careful about how much he was spending and being spent in the kingdom of God. Measured himself very carefully. Made sure that he got all of his proper rest. You know, everything, his life just had to be so ordered. And he pointed out, he said, you know, Brother David, you probably don't get as much rest as you should. And I said, well, you know, the need is so great, brother. I just feel like that, you know, when people call, I need to go. And he said, well, you know how it is. He said, when they get through with you, they're just going to use you up and toss you to the side. Well, let me say this. I may have seen that before in my ministry, where men came to the end of their service among God's people, and they were kind of put to the side. I've seen that on a few occasions. Not often, but I have. But so what? I'm serving God's people. I'm a debtor, as Paul said, both to the Greek and to the barbarians, to the wise and to the unwise, not because of, and listen, I love God's people, and they've been good to me. But ultimately, the reason I'm serving God's people is because of what Jesus has done for me. It doesn't matter if I'm used up and put to the side. That has nothing to do with it. The fact is, Jesus was used up, and men put Him to the side. And He did it because He loved me. And so I'm in debt. I have a debt of love that I owe to my Savior. And I love His people, and I have a debt of love to them. And so ultimately, it doesn't matter what it does to me. It doesn't matter. I owe the debt of love. Now, Romans 12, Paul's instruction in Romans 13 that we read to you, the opening verses that we read, flows from what is based on what he tells us in Romans 12, 1. And that goes to the reason I'm in debt. Is because Jesus loved me. Remember, Romans 13, the debt of love that we owe. Owe no man nothing but to love those men. That flows from Romans 12. And listen how Romans 12 begins. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Here's what Paul is saying, and here's what leads to the debt of love that we owe. Because we constantly receive and constantly experience the mercies of God in Christ, we're to constantly present our bodies a living sacrifice to God our Savior. That's what he's saying. And rather than being conformed to this world, we're to be transformed by the renewing of our mind because of what Christ has done. Because of his mercies. By the mercies of God, Paul says, I beg you, based on God's mercy in your life, that you serve Him, present your bodies a living sacrifice. And then he says, we're to serve God as a member of the body of Christ in Romans 12. He says in Romans 12 that we're, listen to this, even be loving toward those that mistreat us and abuse us. That's the message of Romans 12. It's easy to love those that love you, but that's not what God did. God loved them who didn't love Him. God loved those who were his enemies. Paul said, while we were yet enemies, Christ died for us. And that's our example of love in Romans 12. We're going to see that. Love those who are even our enemies. In chapter 13 of the book of Romans, the apostle tells us that our living for and serving Christ includes that we're to live in subjection to the powers that be, the ordained of God. That's Romans 13:1. In the first seven verses, he talks about living a life of submission as citizens to governing powers, including paying our taxes. You know, as I said, living for the Lord involves, and honesty means that we're to pay our debts. But the debt that we will always have and must always pay is the debt of love. Love sums up all the commandments and fulfills the law of God. And love is not what most people think it is. Love is much, much more than the absence of hatred. Love is more than not doing injury or just the lack of ill will towards someone. Love is much, much more than an emotional feeling. Love involves a self-denying, self-sacrificing devotion and commitment of life to another person's good. That's what love is. To love someone is to do them good at cost to myself. That's what love is. Sacrificial love. Am I willing to be spent and respent? The cost to love someone may mean the cost of money. It may be time, labor, your preference of things, all of those things. But love involves self-sacrifice, devotion, commitment to another person's good. Love means giving up and laying down your own life for someone else. And then in verse 8, Paul said what we read, Romans 13, owe no man nothing but to love one another. For he that loveth hath fulfilled the law. He that loveth hath fulfilled the law. You and I can never do that. We can never pay the debt here required by God at our hands. But blessed be his name forever. There's one that has. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, our substitute, fully paid the debt. He paid our sin debt, and he paid our love debt. The compelling force, the foundation for Paul's instruction to the church at Rome here is the love of God in Christ that we have experienced. Now, Paul, whenever he writes to the church at Corinth, says that the love of Christ ought to have an impact. When you constrain something, you're binding it. You're holding it fast. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5, he said, the love of Christ constraineth us. It binds us to him. Because Paul said, for thus we judge, that if one died for all, then all were dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Now what Paul is saying is this, that we were all dead in trespasses and sin, and that's the reason Christ died for all of his family. That's the all under consideration. And that he died for his family. Now they which live because Christ died, and that's you and I, we live because he died. We should no longer live unto ourselves, because the life that you have today is the life that Christ purchased for you. But we should live unto him which died for us and rose again. That makes good sense, doesn't it? I love this. Paul said in Romans 5, For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. You know the reason Christ died for the ungodly? Because there wasn't any other kind. We were all by nature ungodly. Christ died for us. And then Paul said these words, listen to this. He said, for scarcely, that means rarely, for a righteous man will one die. Every once in a while, for a righteous man, some would die. He said, yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. He said, less frequently, for just a good man, someone may be willing to die. He said, but God commended his love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He said, every once in a while, someone will die for a righteous man. Very rarely would someone die for a good man. But God commended his love toward us when we were sinners. Christ died for us. Isn't that amazing? He didn't wait till we got good, because he'd have never died for us. There's none good, no, not one. Only the goodness of Christ in us. And so Paul said, do you want to know the love of God? Hereby we perceive the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. And then he goes on to say, I'm sorry, John says in 1 John 3:16, we know the love of God because he that is Christ laid down his life for us, and so we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. That's the first thing. Be sure you get that. Christ has paid our debt. And so we ought to lay down our lives. Folks that love me all the time ask me, please slow down. Please slow down. You're going too fast. You're doing too much. And from a natural, physical standpoint, they may be right. But I weigh what I try to do against what Christ did for me. As John said, hereby we perceive the love of God, that he laid down his life for us. When I measure what I do compared to what he did for me, it seems like a very, very little that I do. I want to figure out how to do more. I want to find ways to serve him better. He paid the debt. It constrains me. And so in Romans 13:8, the Spirit of God puts that debt on us to serve him because of what he's done for us. This is our debt. The debt we're to pay. The debt because of what Christ did to us, now we owe to our brothers and sisters in Christ. The church, the family of God, we're not to owe any man, Paul said, except to love one another. And that's not based on what they've done, but because of what Christ has done, we're to love him. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 25, inasmuch as you've done it unto one of these my brethren. Another place he says, one of these my little ones. You've done it unto me. So Paul said, love one another. See that you love one another with a pure heart, fervently, passionately. Breathe after them. How often the Spirit of God tells us to do that. And why? Because we're terribly prone to neglect it. We are so self-centered. Our old nature is still there. We tend to be so absorbed in ourselves and make everything about ourselves. And we talk about ourselves. And a man wrapped up all in himself makes such a little package after all. Oh, Father, give us the grace that only you can give to help us to pay this debt of love to your children for Christ's sake. To love sinners. I mean real sinners. To love sinners like I am, who by God's grace are loved by you, chosen and redeemed. To be long-suffering. As Paul said in Romans 15, that The strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. That means the possible ought to put up with the impossible. You say, well, those people are just impossible. Well, guess what you were for Christ? Impossible. And he put up with you. To be long-suffering and gentle. You know, Paul tells the young preacher Timothy, the servant of God is not to strive. I've been around God's servants, called men who it seemed like they were always angry, always striving, always fighting a battle. They missed it somewhere. That's not what they were called to do. They were called to be long-suffering, to be gentle, forbearing, forgiving, to help the fallen, to strengthen the weak, to uphold the feeble, to feed the hungry, to comfort the troubled. But let me say, in our text, we're specifically told to pay this debt of love to one another. Now let me say this. The word translated another means another of the same kind, another like ourselves. But in the next clause, he said, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law is different. The word another there is different. You can look it up in your Strong's. The word translated another there, to love another and fulfill the law, is altogether different. It means another of a different kind, someone who's not like you at all. We're very good at loving people who are like us. We're very good at loving people who wear the same, say the same, do the same, believe the same. Paul's not telling us to love them. He's telling us that we have a debt of love for something else. Tune in next week, and we're going to talk about loving people of a different kind. That's challenging. But let me tell you, your Savior loved you, and you're of a different kind than He is. May God bless you and keep you, is my prayer for Christ's sake.
As we bid you farewell today, please remember to tune in next week to this channel at the same time for the Gospel of Grace broadcast. This broadcast is sponsored by the McClenny Primitive Baptist Church. You can receive additional information about this ministry and the doctrines of grace at www.mcclennypbc.com or by calling 904-259-7806. Please pray for us. And until next week, may the Lord richly bless you all is our prayer.